I would like to just share with you the encouragement of God's Word, the blessings. This morning was a great morning here as we talked about the three levels of faith: good faith, better faith, and best faith. I pray you'll be moving to always increase your faith, to do more for Christ, especially in a time of storms. It makes all the difference in the world. The stronger our faith is, the more our love is protected, that we can continue to love God with all of our heart, our souls, and our minds. On a Sunday evening, I don't know what it's like at your house or wherever you may be viewing this at, but I pray that you would always invite people to join and encourage them and tell them to join in on this 6 o'clock on Sunday nights at 6:04, that we would be able to minister to you in a very special way. I know there's a lot of services that doesn't take place on Sunday night, but we at First Baptist do, and I think it's important. I think Sunday night always makes Sunday morning a little bit better. And so I pray that you will participate and listen, and may the Lord bless us in a special way. Then if I'd say something you don't like or don't agree with, just turn it off. You have that privilege today. Just turn it off and go on and watch your Gunsmoke or something, and let the Lord bless you in a very special way. But I'm honest with you, brother. Just be normal, okay? Just let it happen for a very special way. I've watched a lot of preaching on TV that I turned it off, and but you're free to stay with us. We'd love to. I'm going to talk about a real important subject today, how to stay in touch with God. You know, I do have responsibilities. My salvation is paid for by grace. But I am responsible to be in touch with the God of my salvation, with the God of my eternity, for the God of my present. I'm responsible for that. Look at the life of Peter tonight. And in Peter, we're going to learn that he sure falls out of touch in a very crucial time in Jesus' life. Jesus asked these guys to meet and pray with him and to just enable him to get through his prayer life. And we learned that those guys didn't pray much. They slept a lot. And we're going to learn about in the sermon how important it is to pray in difficult times, what difference it makes into our lives. I want to say this. If we can't get in touch with God in our troubled times, we are in trouble. And I love to sing the old hymn, "He Touched Me, and the Joy That Floods My Soul." Man, there's been many times in my life when it seems like that it was just me and God and alone in this whole world, and He touched me. I remember in Africa one year I was there, and it was a lonely time. It was tough. It was hot. It was in the middle of nowhere, and I got away from my team for a little while, and I was just kind of struggling. I was struggling if anybody could hear us. We're speaking through interpreters and all this, and I was kind of having my little pity party there in Africa. I was under a big, beautiful tree, and I was just talking to God, and it is as if He just stopped and touched me. I'll never forget that time in Africa, how He just came so close to me and how wonderful He was. As I was yearning for Him, He was willing to touch me. So I want to stay in touch with Him because it pays off in all the days of our life. If we look into the life of Peter, a day before the crucifixion of our Savior on a Thursday night, Peter loses touch in a miserable place in a miserable time of the journey, there at the cross when Jesus sure needed all the support He could get. Two lessons for us in this message to learn. What caused Peter to lose touch with God? I want you to see this tonight. The old devil's really good. He knows how to just set it up, and we fall so prey to him when we're not walking. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me just dialogue. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll stay in touch. But the flesh becomes a part of it. Things begin to happen. Number two, once we lose touch, how to get back in touch with God. So that's the lesson plan tonight, and I want you to see it. Number one, I want you to see that Peter planned real hard not to lose touch with Christ. In the story, Jesus tells them, you're going to lose touch. This is going to be a tough time for you all and me. But Peter declares, not me, Lord. Let me read it to you. In Matthew chapter 26, 25, I want to begin reading in verse 30. And I want you to, Matthew 26, verse 30. When it's on him, they went out on the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be a stumbling because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Now, Jesus was quoting the principles in the Word of God. It was taught from the very beginning. There was going to be the shepherd's going to be smitten, the sheep are going to scatter. And now the irony of this is, remember this, when the Bible speaks to his children, we're like sheep, and the sheep need a shepherd. As a matter of fact, sheep are the dumbest animals in the world, they tell me. A sheep will walk off a cliff to its own demise, get stuck on its back, and suffocate. And we are like sheep. Man, we need a shepherd. And when we lose touch with our shepherd, we are in a very difficult place. But I like what Peter says. But after I've been raised, I will go before you in Galilee. Here's Peter. Peter is always speaking up. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Peter said, not me. God, I'll be with you. I'll be right there with you. I will never, ever stop following you. So let me just state this right on the very beginning. Good plans are not enough. You may plan on never falling back from God. You may plan hard to stay close to God, but good plans are not enough. Because if they were, Peter wouldn't stumble. He says, God, not me. The rest of them may, but I'll be right there. So remember this. It's more than good plans. It's more than your initiative. It's more than your desire, because they can change in a minute. There's been many times I've been pretty happy, and a second later I'd be so mad I could spit. My emotions are all over the place, especially in storms, especially in trials. But Peter had good intentions, but hell is lying full of good intentions. And so I want to help you know that. You may be one of those Christians, and you love the Lord a lot, and you'll never say, I'll never stumble. Well, just be ready. I believe you will. I have. But I will teach you how to get back when it does happen in our lives. So Jesus said to them, surely I say to you, that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And he said, and so said all the disciples. Not us, Lord. You've missed us. You don't really know how committed we are to you. But Jesus was giving them far warning. See, here's the deal. Those disciples in the presence of Jesus would try anything. Peter even walked on water when he seen him out there in that treacherous lake. They would try anything. But when you get out of the presence of Jesus, you can do nothing. There's nothing we can do. We don't have enough power. We don't have enough strength. I don't have enough determination. And the reason why when Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit descended, man, that's God in us. That's God with us. These guys are going through some radical times right now that they've done everything in his presence. They leaned on him. They knew it worked. And so they're going by what they knew, but things were going to change. And let me give you far a warning about this. Life is always changing. Who would have thought 2 months ago we'd be fighting over toilet paper and stuff? Think about that. We'd be locked up. I mean, it's crazy. Life's always changing. So don't ever say that I will not get out of touch. I don't want you to, but I want to help you, help all of us to learn how to do that. In the presence of Jesus, but when Jesus leaves them and things begin to change and they take him away, in verse 31, but after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Now he says, I'm coming back. He's kind of giving them a heads up. I'll be back. Peter answered and said, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. He says it over and over, continually, that he had good expectations. But Jesus says, when I'm raised from the dead, we're going to connect. And man, they haven't got any of that. See, God's ways are never my way. God's ways, I can't figure out. Sometimes I think I've got God figured out. Sometimes I read my Bible and I pray and I know what he's going to do. Let me tell you something. To presume to know what God's going to do, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, but God is so better and so different, and he has such high expectations for us many times we are just grabbing at straws trying to figure it out. That's the part of life. Trusting him is by faith. If I knew what he was going to have to do, I wouldn't need faith. Faith is when God moves in our lives. No reason to fall, but he did. Let's learn why. During the arrests, when they come to arrest Jesus, man, it had to be a horrible time. Peter acts out, cuts the guard's ears off, and you know, Judas betrayed him. Peter uses his knife. Peter was the one who's never going to stumble. Man, Jesus didn't even get out of the gate, and Peter was stumbling. In verse 56, but all this was done that the scripture of the prophet must be fulfilled, that all disciples forsook him and fled. It was prophesied that all of those were going to fear and they're going to flee. Let me tell you something. Fear is powerful. Fear will cause us to flee. Fear will cause us to do some silly things in our lives. These guys were afraid. They just watched Jesus taken away by the guards in public. And for you to stand right then there to stand up, you know what probably would happen? They would take you with him. And all of a sudden, fear just took over. Can you imagine little Mary when Jesus came to him before Christmas to Mary and said, you know what I want you to do? An angel came and said, I want you to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And I know you're engaged to Joseph. I know you're a good woman. He's a good guy. And I want you to do this. Mary said, how in the world could I become pregnant and not even fully married to my husband? What would this do? And the angel said, Mary, trust me. I got this. And you know what Mary said? Okay. Fear not, Mary. Fear not. I don't know what I'd have done if I was Mary, and you don't either. And God knew what Mary would do, but God didn't make Mary do it. Mary just said yes by faith. Pretty radical. Let me just say this. To the people out there that understand faith and love faith, just remember this. Faith is always radical. When you get into the better and the best faith of your life and you get out of the elementary stages, it will always cause you to be uncomfortable. It will always cause you to be a target. It will always cause you to be hurt. All of that happens. And see, we're people of comfort. But Peter is going through a difficult time. He's always been on the winning team. He's never lost. He's watched people raised from the dead. He watched all this happen. But all of a sudden, Jesus is gone, and Peter understands he has nothing. He is now being in the turmoil of his life. Now, standing with God's important. Drawing nigh to God is real important. I want to read to you in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, will I also deny them before my Father who is in heaven. Peter is denying the presence of Christ right there. Fear takes over. But the dedication of Peter exceeds the rest of them. I will give him far warning about that. In verse 57, and those who had laid hold of Jesus led him into Caiaphas, the high priest, and scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat to the servants to see the Lord. Now, I want you to just underline this for a few moments. Peter is following Jesus, but it's the number one tool of the devil in your spiritual life. I'm probably speaking to people maybe tonight that you're a member of a church, but you haven't been back in a long time. I'm talking to people that are born again. And it all started with this. Peter began to follow Jesus. Now when Peter walked with Jesus, he walked shoulder to shoulder. But he's following from a distance. Whenever you begin to distance yourself from the presence or the position of Christ in your life, you're already in trouble. If the devil can get you to follow far off, he can take you far away. And so if you're a Christian and you want to tell me, and I want to speak to this, for I hear it all the time, church members, who've been hurt at church or got sidetracked in sin or a social dilemma of your problem in your life, and you've been through a pain and you give up on the church, in your mind, you're saying, I can come back anytime I want to. I've heard people tell me that by the hundreds. And here's what I tell them. That's not so. You sound like the alcoholic. When I speak to alcoholic, and I've worked with many people, they've lived in our houses for years with Kathy and I, helping people with alcoholism. They say, I can quit anytime I want. If they could, they would. If you can come back to church anytime you would, you would. There's a power of Satan. If he can get us following afar off, he can take us completely away. When we start walking away, it's the wrong way to walk. But at least Peter is there following him from afar off. And he begins to work in his life. But Peter followed him from a distance. Let me share this. When you're walking with Christ, walk shoulder to shoulder. He's in your heart. He's in your life. He's your power. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. You know, I wish Peter could have maybe stood up and said, hey, that's not so. That's false. They're lying. But Peter was afar off. He began to walk away and the fellowship of Christ began to separate. Let me tell you what fellowship of God is. Fellowship is just two fellows in a ship. You and God. Peter was in a ship. Him and God. But Peter now was far off. And he's not in that ship. He's broke fellowship. Now, I want you to get this. I can never break relationship with Christ because I've been born again. God lives within me. No performance needed. It's by grace I've been saved by faith through grace. But I can break fellowship with Christ. And fellowship is a miserable place to be. And that's where Peter is. He's breaking fellowship with Christ. And just because you can't come to church, you haven't been to church, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian. But the fellowship between you and God have been severed, and you need to get back to fellowship with Christ. This is a story about walking far away from God. And he's going through all the storms in his life. Just a little further, some important news. You can't follow far off without getting far back. And so I want to encourage you, all the ideas that Peter had, all the decisions, were now changing. When we begin to follow far off, let me tell you what happens. Confusion comes. Let me tell you something. I don't want to be confused about God's love for me. I don't want to be confused about God's power in my life. I don't want to be confused that God is bigger than my circumstances. But when I get a fall off, when I walk away, confusion comes a part of my life. I begin to second guess what I used to believe. I begin to question what I knew was right. Here's Peter. He is now doing this in verse 69. And Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You're also with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." Peter publicly, now, he is just not afar off. He now doesn't even be associated with him. He denied it. Peter is a place he's beginning to fall. He's going to fall hard. In verse 70, but he denied him for all, saying, "I do not know him." And when he had gone out of the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also is with Jesus of Nazareth." Let me tell you something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody would associate me with Jesus of Nazareth? What a privilege. What a privilege. Just that Jesus of Nazareth. You're part of that team. Man, I'd want to feel honored. But when you're following afar off, you're hurting, you're afraid, you're miserable, you're confused, and you deny him. Deny him. And then verse 72. But again he denied him with an oath. "I do not know that man." He cursed. Such anticipation. "You'll never get me to trip up, Jesus. I'll die for you." He walked back. He denied him. Then the Bible says, as further away he got, he began to curse. Verse 74. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know that man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Peter knew when he heard the rooster crow. Man, I said I wouldn't do this. Man, I said this can't happen. I said I will die. And all of this is brought to his attention. He was so far away from God. I have never cursed God. I've never been that far. But I wasn't that close at Calvary either. I have the Holy Spirit. But I've sure asked God some stupid questions. And I've sure said a lot of stupid stuff that I wish he wouldn't have said. And I sure have denied him at times. In times when I need to speak for him and I walk away without speaking, I lay awake at night wondering why I did that. When it was time for me to help somebody and I wasn't ready, it hurts me a lot, but it hurts God too. Because I am his light. I am his salt. And if you think and stay out of church doesn't hurt, just hurts you, look at your children. Husbands, look at your wives. Many of you husbands, your wives are going without you. Just look at that. Look how many people it hurts. It hurts more than you think. I was ministering to a lady at Cove Baptist Church years ago, and she came to me, and she thought maybe she had some cancer. She's having some tests done, and she smoked heavily. And I went and seen her. Name was Mary. I said, Mary, you asked me to come and pray, and I'm going to pray that God would help you to, with cancer in your lung, just be able to quit smoking. Just quit smoking, Mary. Maybe that's how we need to get through this. Let's just pray for that miracle in your life since the is so close to you. And Mary looked at me, and this is what she said. Brother Ron, if I'm smoking and I'm dying of cancer, I'm not hurting nobody but me. I'm just hurting me. So don't get all upset. If I choose to smoke and I die, it's just killing me. 6 months later, I preached Mary's funeral, and I watched her four children on the first row cry and cry and cry. And Mary said to me, it just hurts me. I wish she could have seen the tears at her funeral, because when you walk away from God, it hurts everybody around you. And if you believe the lie is just you, that's a lie straight from hell. And when you start following afar off, you believe lie after lie and confusion, and you'll hurt many lives. Here's what I tell people. I know you've been hurt. I know it's been shattering, and I don't know what that was like. But I do know God needs you now because of your personality, because of your gifts. He could use you to win people back to Jesus again. But when you get far off, you don't think of nothing but you. All you do is feel the guilt and the pain. You feel the agony. You feel the defeat. When you get far from God, it's the most miserable place you can be. And I'm preaching tonight, and I'm probably preaching to a lot of people who you've walked away from God. You're not mad at him. You've done some bad things. You love him. But you need to get back. You need to come back to God. You need to get back in fellowship with Christ. There's nothing greater in this world to be loved by Jesus and to talk to him and pray to him and walk along heavenly's way. It's important. If you're finding yourself in that pattern, you keep excusing it. You're like Peter. You just say no. And then you cuss him. Then you cuss some more. Then you just wait. You're so far out of fellowship, you don't even know if you're saved. I want to help you to think about getting back. How do you get back? Well, it's in the next verse. I want to help you with it. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said unto him, before the rooster crows, he will deny him three times. Then he went out, and he wept bitterly. Peter went out, and he was broken. He cried out to God. I don't know how bitterly. As much as he loved God, as much as God did in his life, to know that right in the midst of his life, he was scattered. He was so far, he wept bitterly. And through that weeping, he finds the fellowship of Christ in his life. I want to read to you in verse 26 to 41. There when they were in the garden. Verse 41. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptations. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, when Jesus was in the garden praying, for thy will to be done, he asked his disciples, you watch and pray, lest you enter into temptations. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is so weak. He remembered his words. He remembered what he said. He remembered how his flesh just dominated his spirit. It owned him. And he broke down and he began to pray. He wept with a broken heart. He wept over the sin of Jerusalem. He wept over all the lostness in his family and his mother. He wept, but he prayed in the spirit. And if you could just humble yourself and pray and ask God to forgive you and cleanse you, he will bring you back with power and authority and change your lives. Remember, there was another disciple that kind of shortchanged Jesus in this ordeal. His name is Judas. He kissed him on the cheek, and he went out and counted his 30 pieces of silver. He couldn't weep. He couldn't turn back to Christ because his God was money. And he hung himself. He died. Peter walked away from God, but he knew how to get back. He knew how to pray. He knew how to be broken. And he cast himself before God. He remembered those words, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. Let me strengthen your flesh. Let me give you a new call tonight. In a world that's so separated and confused, out of fellowship with God isn't a place none of us need to be forever. But right now in the storm, let me ask you to come back into fellowship with Christ. Just humble yourself and say, God, just admit it. Just take that 1,000 pounds of pressure off your heart and begin to say, God, today I declare I'm going to walk with you. Thank you for your love and forgiveness. Bring me back into fellowship. Bring me back into your fullness. And Peter did. You know how I know that? Because Peter in Acts chapter 26, he says, guys, I'm going to do what God says, not what man says. He was ready to go to the cross that day himself. Because when you come back with fellowship, you're back with the power of God. You're back walking with God. You're back on the good side of circumstances. You're now with God through them circumstances. He forgives you. And I do know this. In order for you to walk away from God, you were hurting tremendously. Something seriously happened. It wasn't just something light. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe you lost your family. Maybe you've been through a death untimely for someone you loved. Maybe you've been through a confusion at church and it got kind of ugly. I know it was hard on you, but I know one thing. The Holy Spirit is greater than that hurt. He provides for you in that hurt. Call on it, and he'll bring you right back. He'll just celebrate that time of cleansing and wash it white as snow. I'm an old car guy. You take a nice old car and it's dirty. I don't care how nice it is. It doesn't look too good to me. But you get out some soap and water and clean it up, it just stands tall. And my old spirit gets dirty sometimes. I need some good gospel spirit-filled prayer to clean me from the inside out so I can stand in the glory of Christ's presence again. So let me encourage you. You never get too far. He'll always bring you back and encourage you. He loves you too much to let you go. And so let me come to you in this difficult time. Do not get far away from God. Don't start following afar off. You haven't been to church for several weeks. Now you say you can live without it. No, you can't. No, you can't. When these doors open, when this time of worship is we're designed for you to worship, get in it. Pray for people. Get your prayer list. Begin to pray. And put yourself right on top. When Jesus taught disciples to pray, the first part of that chapter was praying for him. Pray for God to help you and to make you stronger. And I pray you'll get back from separation, back in the power of his Holy Spirit. Do not start following from afar off. You're already on your way out. Let's come back together. I want to pray with you tonight. As you go to sleep tonight, say, God, just bring me close to you. He touched me, and my life's forever been changed. May he touch you again. He will. I told you about my time in Africa when I was having my pity party, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that time how God touched me there. And many other times in my life, because see, those are the times that I just ask him to help me. Those are the times I was willing to repent and say, God, I'm just stupid and I'm not doing it right. Help me to do it better. He came. He came. He'll come to you. Let me encourage you to do that. Let me pray with you. And I asked you to pray right now. Would you just pray, God, I want to be in fellowship. Thank God for me being one of your children. But God, I don't want to be a rebel. I want to be sweet. I want to have the right words. I want to care about people. I want to change lives. Pray for that blessing tonight in a very special way. Let's pray together. Father, hear our prayers. We see so much in Peter's life, the ups and the downs. But Father, he finished well. I want to finish well. And I know every child of God, no matter where they've been on their journey, no matter what religion they are, if they've been born again, your fellowship is the best fellowship in the world. Bless and help. Bring us close to you. Father, some of us have been so far away, we've said bad things and just said some dumb things, even denied you. But God, give us the strength to declare you again. And Father, our children will see it. Our family will see it. Our community will see it. Change lives through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.